Disfigured American soldiers are under fire. They have been viciously whittled down to less than a squad. They are retreating across a vital bridge, retreating to a bombed out building. Their enemy, embodied in powerful Tiger tanks and brutal SS grenadiers, seems overwhelming, unstoppable. The surviving GIs have been reduced to a few clips of ammo and have resorted to lobbing mortar shells at their foes. The air is heavy with desperation and death. When Captain John Miller, who's played by Tom Hanks, realizes that he has to blow up the bridge or the Nazis will capture it, he stands to start towards the detonator and immediately takes a bullet in the chest. He collapses to the ground, and as he is slowly dying, begins to fire his .45 at the encroaching Panzer, ridiculously defiant. Of course, the German tank inches forward unstoppably anyway, and Miller continues to fire, though bullets rain down all around him. And then, when all seems hopeless, a fantastic contradiction is painted on the screen. Against all logic, Miller expends another round, and the tank explodes in a massive fireball. And while we, the viewers, try to reconcile the effect with the cause, the camera pans skyward, and a P-51 tank buster soars overhead, D-Day's stripes and silver wings flashing in the sun. The cavalry has arrived just in the nick of time. The battle is won. The bridge is secured. And the object of Captain Miller's actual mission, the rescue of Private Ryan, Private James Francis Ryan, has been assured. But Captain Miller is dying, and all but two of his men have been killed in the effort to locate and rescue Private Ryan. Miller motions Ryan over, he pulls him near, and with his dying breath offers this challenge. He says, "Earn this. Earn this." You're like me, that scene stirs a great deal of emotion. It generates a motivation to appreciate our freedoms and to live out in such a way as to merit the sacrifices that have been made on our behalf. It produces perhaps sorrow or maybe sort of emotional turmoil over the cost of freedom, which has been for so many heroes throughout the history of our great nation, the ultimate sacrifice of life itself. It connects us to what Captain Miller did for Private Ryan, and therefore to what those who secure our freedoms have done so powerfully for us. It is a great scene, a remarkable scene. For a man named Tom Allen, and I've never met Tom Allen, I've just read his remarks, but for Tom Allen, the scene also produced anger. He was angry about the line scripted for Captain John Miller because it was so out of character for an Army Ranger, which is what Miller was, so out of character that he felt like it was just wrong. Now, anybody else like that? Anybody else ever leave the theater just disgusted with the director or the writer or the producer and you just wanted to say something to him, right? Anybody ever have that experience watching a sporting event on TV or a political event? You just stand up in your living room and you say, "No, that's not right." Yeah, I've never done that, but maybe you have. Tom Allen says this, "As a former Army Ranger, I was extremely proud until the last scene of the movie. I was proud watching the Rangers take Omaha Beach. I was proud watching the Army move deep into enemy territory, fighting skirmish after skirmish, following their orders to rescue Private Ryan. I was proud when once they located Ryan, they chose to stay and fight with him and protect the bridge at Rommel." Of course, he writes, "Of course, in the movie, that final battle is gory and difficult. Almost everyone dies. Captain Miller has been shot. He's dying. Almost everyone in the entire theater was crying because of it. But I, on the other hand, was almost crying because of what Captain Miller said to Private Ryan when he said, 'Earn this.' It made me angry," he said, "because I don't think a Ranger would ever say, 'Earn this.' Why? Because the Ranger motto for the past 200 years has not been earn this. The Ranger motto for the past 200 years has been sua sponte. Sua sponte. Not earn this, but I chose this. Literally translates to of my own accord. Of my own accord. In other words, and these are my words right for the moment, not Alan's, but in other words, this was my choice. I volunteered. The motto recognizes that a ranger not only takes the initiative to tackle the task at hand, but has actually volunteered to be where he was at least 3 times. He volunteered for the Army. He volunteered for Airborne School. He volunteered for service in the 75th Ranger Regiment. Back to Tom Allen's words. In other words, he writes, a real ranger would say something more like this. This is free. You don't pay anything for it. You can't earn it. You can't earn it. I give up my life for you. That's my choice. I chose this. Amazing to me how much that sounds like just what Jesus said about his own death for us. I'm thinking specifically of what he says in the Gospel of John chapter 10 where he says, no one takes my life from me. But I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. And it would not be long after Jesus spoke those words before his disciples would have reason to remember those words. It would not be long after Jesus spoke those words before dispatched soldiers would make their way to a garden where Jesus was known to pray. And not long before a member of his own team, one of his own disciples, Judas Iscariot, would plant the kiss of betrayal upon his cheek. He would be arrested and falsely charged and sentenced to death by the Roman authorities. So not just his government, but actually the most powerful government on the face of the earth in his day. And as those events unfolded, it would have been easy for the disciples to think that somehow, you know, things had just sort of gotten away from Jesus, that somehow things had taken an oh-so-ugly and oh-so-unpredictable turn to see Jesus' death as some sort of unforeseen and almost inexplicable tragedy. And the truth is, that actually is how his disciples must have seen things on Friday, on the day of his crucifixion, but on Sunday, if you need one, here's an amen opportunity, Sunday told a different story. When Jesus' followers visited his tomb on Sunday, not with any hope of resurrection, let's be honest, but only in hopes of mourning their loss, they were greeted by heavenly messengers with a heavenly message. Two men, Luke says, in clothes that gleamed like lightning, saying, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. And on that day, and truth be told, over the next several days, as they began to wrap their hearts and minds around this reality, Jesus' disciples came to know and understand the truth, that his death was not a surprise, that his death was not an accident, that his death was not some tragic twist of fate, but that rather what he had spoken before his death was absolutely true. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord, sua sponte. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. Of my own accord, I chose this. Not earn this, but I chose this. I just want to bring you a simple reminder this morning. A reminder that the greatest freedom of all is not the political freedom that U.S. citizenship provides, though I cannot tell you how grateful I am to those of you who have given yourself in military service so that I continue to know that freedom. And the greatest freedom of all is not the freedom from human tyranny, though I would hate to think of our communities, much less our nation, without the rule of law ably and equitably enforced. Assuring its equitable enforcement is something we should all be concerned about and working towards, by the way. And the greatest freedom of all is not freedom from distress or panic in times of trouble, though no one can measure the contribution that first responders and emergency workers make to our peace of mind and wholeness, but rather the greatest freedom of all is freedom of the soul. It's freedom of the human person. That freedom purchased for us by Jesus Christ through that sacrificial death he chose freely on a Roman cross. It's the freedom from condemnation. It's the freedom of being fully forgiven, of having no offense, no sin stand as a barrier between us and an altogether holy God. It is the freedom of reconciliation with God and with oneself and with one's fellow human beings, with created order itself. It is the freedom that results from God's promise of a new heaven and a new earth, all of it the home of righteousness, all of it made new for us, even as we are being made new in Christ. The freedom that comes with a confident assurance of eternal life through our relationship with God, our loving Creator and our gracious Redeemer. The thing I'd like you to understand this morning, the thing I would like you to perhaps appreciate in new ways and on a new level this morning is that this everlasting freedom is absolutely free. Here's another good amen opportunity for you. Want it? If you want it, there's not much that's absolutely free anymore. That resonated more than anything I've said all morning. You know that every time you see free splashed across a billboard or on a television screen or in a pop-up ad or on a flyer in the mail, every one of those uses is going to have an asterisk attached somewhere, right? But about this free we're declaring this morning, the New Testament book of Ephesians chapter 2 says it like this: it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. How many of you know you don't earn a gift, you receive it? And that means that experiencing freedom in Jesus Christ is not, you know, dependent upon walking the aisle of a church in response to some plea, though you know that I think that can be a good thing. It means that experiencing freedom in Jesus Christ is not dependent upon joining a particular church or shaking a particular preacher's hand, though I think that can be a good thing too, and if you're looking for a church or pastor to recommend, I have some ideas. Actually, I have an idea. Rather, it means that experiencing freedom in Jesus Christ comes from simply accepting what cannot be earned. Some of you honestly are so performance driven. I tell a particular person in my life, I don't know how you ever got saved. Experiencing freedom in Jesus Christ comes from simply accepting what cannot be earned, what can never be earned, what Jesus did for us, sua sponte, of His own accord, receiving from Him His free gift of life everlasting. And here's what I know. Even in the greatest nation on the face of the earth, even in the greatest nation of the on the face of the earth, even in this place that is the heartland for freedom worldwide, there are many, many people who are not free. They're bound by habits. They're bound by addictions. They're bound by guilt. They're bound by history. They feel bound by their own circumstances and their own options. They feel restricted and confined. People are bound by many, 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 many things. But, that doesn't have to be true among us this morning. That doesn't have to be true. Jesus came to lay down His life of His own accord. Not to say, earn this. Let's see if you can measure up. Let's see if you can do enough. Let's see if you can match what I've done. But to say, rather, receive this. Receive this. So I am encouraging you this morning. I am encouraging you this morning to receive the freedom that Christ extends. It really is the only place you'll ever find this kind of life-redeeming freedom. Now, the first Sunday of the month is almost always for us here Communion Sunday. Different churches celebrate communion different ways, but ours is pretty simple. In just a few moments, we're going to distribute these trays of small wafers and little cups of juice, the bread and the cup, we often say. In fact, gentlemen, if you would come and prepare. These elements symbolize, they represent, they express to us the body and the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, and we partake of them together in keeping with His instructions. Do this in remembrance of me. Let me just tell you, as we prepare for these moments and move towards the conclusion of our time together, you don't have to be a member of this church to participate with us. You don't have to ever have been here before in order to participate with us. Scripture does encourage us to recognize the sanctity of these moments and not to approach the table of the Lord either flippantly or callously, unthinkingly, but rather to approach the table of the Lord with reverence and with humility and with gratitude and with joy. The Scriptures encourage us, indeed more than that, they exhort us really to partake of communion mindful of one another, recognizing that we who were many have now been made one because we share this common relationship with Jesus Christ our Lord. It's with this act of communion I think if we're doing it right, how about that? We lean in with our whole being to everything Jesus has done for us. So if you're here this morning in need of forgiveness, you've come to the right place. Not because I or anyone else here can offer you the kind of forgiveness you need, as much as the fact that Jesus Christ can offer you the forgiveness you could never earn. Forgiveness you can only just receive because it is His gift. If you're here in need of healing, if you're here in need of strength, if you're here in need of empowerment, if you're here in need of hope, we think all those things are found in Jesus. And I am convinced that coming to the table of the Lord can be a powerful way of saying, I'm receiving, Jesus, I'm receiving what you have supplied, what I could never earn, but what you give freely. So I encourage you, whether you're a regular part of JAG Church or whether this is the first Sunday you've ever been here, I encourage you, if your heart says yes, to just join in with us in these sacred moments. I've asked the worship team to lead us in a song that celebrates what Jesus has done for us. As they lead, you're welcome to sing along or you're welcome to simply reflect on the sacredness of these moments. Some of you like to stand after you've been served and just sing. Some of you like to remain. That's all cool. In a few minutes, I'll ask you all to stand. But liberty marks this time around the table of the Lord. Let me ask you something. When you're at home at a meal with your family, do you feel constricted when you sit down to eat? Well, it's the sweetest times in our house. There's liberty to laugh, to enjoy, to appreciate. Well, let that be reflected in our time as one body around the table of the Lord, the liberty by which Jesus Christ has set us free. I encourage you to make these moments when your heart is particularly open to fellowship with, to receiving from the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sacred moments today. Thank you for the opportunity to celebrate freedom. Certainly, to anticipate the celebration of our nation's independence this week, to honor and celebrate those who have laid down their lives, made such sacrifice that this freedom could be secured and maintained. God, in these sacred moments, we even long to look beyond that, to the freedom that is at the foundation of all liberty, to what you have done for us that we could never do for ourselves, knowing gratefully and joyfully that you do not say to us, earn this, but you say to us, receive this. Receive this. And so we receive of you. We receive you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Gentlemen, would you serve us?